Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Monday edition, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am Clay Travis. He is Buck Sexton. We are talking about the biggest story that is going on right now anywhere in the world, and it is Joe Biden having to come to grips with the biggest stock market drop that he has seen in his entire tenure. Buck Sexton, I am reading from the Wall Street Journal article about this. It says the stock market moves were reminiscent of trading patterns that prevailed in the early days of the pandemic. Investors sold shares of companies directly affected by restrictions on movement and business while buying government bonds and stocks that stood to benefit from renewed lockdowns. American Airlines, United Airlines, cruise operator Carnival all saw their stock prices drop substantially. Stocks that climbed on Monday, Kroger, which we all remember, Etsy, which is an online marketplace, and Peloton. And the big question now is, are we stumbling once more into March of 2020 all over again?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be short-lived with this stock market dip here, at least the plunge that we're seeing, because this is right now, it's panic-driven. This is panic selling at some level, and it's very unlikely we're going to go back to, I mean, I think it's almost impossible we'll go back to where we were at that phase. The market is an indicator of fear in this moment. And as we know, if you actually believed what the market was telling us back in March of 2020, if people thought, oh my gosh, you know, the end is near, that was the wrong attitude, because the market ended up having a huge rally and doing incredibly well. Selling in March of 2020, well, at least if you're a long-term investor, was not the right move. But what we are seeing is, I think, a sense of economic anxiety that is reflected in the market right now, in the stock market, but it's reflected also from the Biden administration, which is why he gave a speech today in which he tried to tell everybody that things are better than you think they are. Everything is going great. Everything is working according to plan.
Well, what I was just going to say, Buck, is usually you don't give a speech during the time when the stock market is open. That's been a long time, you know, sort of tried and true political mechanism, because if the stock market goes down while you are talking, then a lot of people use it as sort of a sign of your impotence. And that's exactly what happened with Joe Biden speaking earlier today. Stock market went down even more after he talked.
Amazing when you think about how the sales pitch for Biden, what was it, in the summer of 2020, was that he would unite America, he would calm things down, and he would help the middle class afford stuff like gas and housing and groceries. Remember that? An economy that's from the bottom up and the middle out, right? I mean, now I would want to say it's hilarious, but it's also deeply depressing that was the sales pitch for Biden, because on every front so far, we haven't even talked about today, and we should get into the fact that the latest numbers for illegal crossings at the border, 20-year high last month. We've been discussing how it's a 20-year high in the aggregate, Clay, since January for this year. But last month alone, for the month of June in 2021, the highest illegal crossing. We have the most open border we've ever had. We have an economy that's right now, obviously, stock market's looking really shaky, but also a lot of job openings that aren't filled. You have a $3+ trillion stimulus package, although that's kind of what it feels like, budget bill they want to get through. Inflation is very real. And Biden's going around trying to tell everybody that things are actually just fine, that somehow this is all going according to plan, which I find at some level just troubling and hard to imagine that he really says this stuff, that he really believes this stuff. But this is what we're being told. It's all going to be okay.
Yeah, and I think what's such a challenge about this is, in general, we just are sitting in a really precarious spot. And Buck, you and I were talking about this off air, and certainly it's a conversation we're going to have a lot of on air as well. Is this stock market sell-off a reflection of increased fear? And if you want to, again, we kind of laid out the hypotheses earlier, Buck. We said there's two different paths, right? This could be a blip, or this is a sign that the vaccines may not be as effective as we had hoped. And you can use some of the data to tell either side of the story right now.
Here's Biden from the speech that was right before we came on air today. Biden was trying to tell everybody about how the economy is going, and it's just fine.
As demand returns, there's going to be global supply chain challenges. We've seen that in semiconductors, which are used in automobiles. That global shortage has slowed vehicle production, creating a temporary spike in car prices. That's a real challenge. Lumber prices are another example. They spiked early in our recovery, but in recent weeks, they began to fall. They've fallen by more than 50%. In the hospitality industry, prices are returning to where they used to be. I want to be clear. My administration understands that if we were to ever experience unchecked inflation over the long term, that would pose a real challenge to our economy. So while we're confident that isn't what we're seeing today, we're going to remain vigilant about any response that is needed.
Do you trust Joe Biden to be the steward of this economy?
No.
No one should.
No, I mean, look, this is the big... You could dislike Donald Trump on many different levels. And I understand people who said, hey, he tweets too much. He's frustrating to me. He leaves himself open to counterattack. I understand all those criticisms. There are people out there listening to us right now who voted for Donald Trump in spite of all those things. But you knew that on the economy, Trump knew what he was talking about from a business perspective. I don't believe that Joe Biden has any real knowledge of business or the economy, because I don't think he's ever had to have a real job where he had to sit down and make a payroll or prove that he could have a profit.
The only jobs he's created are the money laundering scheme for his son with the $500,000 paintings that people are buying anonymously, by the way. Which is
an unbelievable story.
So he's good at that. I mean, Joe Biden knows, he knows how to get the grift going real well for Biden family members. Of course, the corporate Democrat media doesn't want to touch that. But let's look at where they really are right now. The promise of Biden, the central promise of the Biden campaign into the presidency was that things would go back to normal and that he would steer us out of the pandemic. Today, it feels like everything else, crime, awful, border, awful, inflation going up. You look at all these things. If on top of that, their COVID plan, their vaccination stuff, all the things that they've been pushing from the White House down. And I don't mean just vaccination in general, but I mean we're the great stewards of getting needles into people's arms and we're going to convince everybody and the messaging around it. Clay, if we go back into you think that we're heading back into full on lockdowns, at least as of today, that is
what I'm afraid of, Buck.
If we head there, the Biden administration in year one is a massive and catastrophic and entirely predictable failure. And that's what I think people in D.C. are seeing.
But do you know what will happen? I think I am afraid. Are they going to blame
Trump? Because that would be the most surprising.
That is going to happen. Their game plan is going to shift from, hey, we're going to return to normalcy, to we can't return to normalcy because of Trump, right? If the vaccines, and look, I hope, this is important, right? Because I want to be honest with our audience. We're talking about data on the ground as it exists right now. Right. If you look at the numbers in England, the overall number of COVID infections today, as they are opening up England, are approaching the all-time high for COVID infections that they have ever seen. I tweeted out a graphic at Clay Travis. You can go look at this yourself. That is the data right now. Data does not necessarily mean that we know 100% what the cause of that is. Right. It could be, and I hope this is the case, that we're just doing a better job in England of testing, and that the vast majority of those people who are testing positive, it's the equivalent of a cold, and we're not going to see a rise in hospitalization, and we're not going to see a rise in death. We won't know, because that sort of data follows by about a month. If we do, then my concern, Buck, is it's evidence that there's something really going awry in our response, that the narrative of, hey, if we get enough people vaccinated, COVID's just going to go away, the evidence suggests that that's just not true. Why that would be, I hope that we're going to have less hospitalization and less death, but I'm apprehensive that people are going to see this data, right? Buck, that all the people out there who have been supporting lockdowns are going to say, you know what this means? Double mask, triple mask. We've got to shut down schools again in the blue states. We've got to shut down businesses. We need targeted lockdowns to stop the spread of COVID. My concern is that by the fall and winter of 2021, we could be seeing a replay of what happened in March of 2020 last year.
I think there's a concern among the Biden administration, specifically in addition to all the things you're laying out with when it comes to COVID, that the agenda is stalled. We're going to be, this summer is starting to feel like it's already passing us by here. We're going to be in recess soon. What is the Biden agenda? What have they accomplished? What are they doing? What have the Democrats done with, remember, the House, the Senate, and the presidency for all intents and purposes? I mean, I know the Senate is 50-50 technically, but they can get things through by a tiebreak from Kamala. What have they managed to do? And if they give up the power, if they give up the authority they have over our lives that's rooted in this COVID state, what are they going to be able to accomplish? What then becomes the reason for having Democrats in charge? It's not the booming economy. And let's all be very clear. Everyone who was looking at the end of COVID was thinking that the economy would be a rocket ship because we had an artificial lockdown. And we're out of that. I'm sorry, artificial recession. The lockdown obviously was very real and made by them. Now we're at a point where they're starting to tell us, well, yeah, inflation's real. Yeah, jobs haven't come back as quickly as we wanted. Yeah, we may. What's the point of having Democrats in charge? What is the upside of Democrats running things compared to where we were? That is a question. I know Democrats will say, oh, because Trump is an insurrectionist and the worst thing since the Civil War. They're going to talk crazy talk no matter what. But for the persuadables, for independents?
It's a great point, Buck. And also remember this. They used the COVID as the rock to try and drown Donald Trump. He couldn't escape it. COVID is theirs now. And just as Trump couldn't escape COVID, we may have Joe Biden, a.k.a. Jimmy Carter 2.0, caught up in the same mess.
We'll get into this some more coming up here. Remember, lines are open, 800-282-2882. Also go to clayandbuck.com for stories and updates and clips, good things from the show. That's clayandbuck.com. If I could save you money for doing the exact same thing you're doing right now when it comes to your cell phone service, keep your number, keep the same coverage, but I'm just saving you money, why wouldn't you do that? Well, there's no good reason, right? So how about you save yourself some money, up to $800 a year for a family, just by switching your cell carrier to Pure Talk. Pure Talk has a CEO who's a U.S. veteran. They're based here in the States. Their customer service is all U.S. based. And here's what they do. They just give you the same things you're getting from your big carrier without the extra perks and the things you never need. In fact, Clay, as we know, Pure Talk gives you that same coverage, but only charges you the what you need to pay to make sure that your cell phone works the way you want it to, not for extras.
Yeah, no doubt. They can save you an absolute ton. Stop paying for all the fluff. You can get unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. And if you go over on data, they don't charge you for it. Again, it's an incredible offer, whether you have AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile. How do you get it? Well, you text. You get unlimited talk, text, plus 6 gigs of data, all for just $30 a month. All you have to do right now, pull out your cell phone, dial #250, say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month. Let me repeat that for you. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You'll have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck, he's Clay, and we had this breaking news story from just the last hour or so. The first Capitol Hill rioter, and it's amazing. I mean, they use the term insurrection so much now. It's in so many news stories and headlines that I worry that I'm going to start to say it just from habit of reading it, not that I would ever declare this an insurrection. I was in the CIA. I know something about coups. This was not a coup. And if a few people who were emotionally disturbed, who were present that day, really believed they were going to overthrow the government, then that's an issue of their delusion and not describing this in reality. Some guy can push a shopping cart through Times Square saying the end is near tomorrow, and that doesn't mean that everybody should act like the world is ending, right? It doesn't mean that you forget the rationality that you have to apply to situations like this, but they don't want it to be rational. In fact, they want, Clay, to make this a situation where anybody who speaks out against this, anybody who says this is severe, I mean, 8 months for effectively trespassing on the floor of the Senate during a riot. Democrats have, in 2020 alone, tried to burn down a federal courthouse, tried to burn down a historic church. I mean, did anyone get an 8 month sentence for any of that? I mean, the double standard of justice here is mind blowing.
That is, I think, the biggest takeaway here is we had months of riots all throughout the country. And in fact, not only were there almost no punishments that came from many of those riots, but many of those people were not even charged with crimes after being arrested. They were let go. There was millions of dollars, probably tens of millions of dollars, in what would have been bail to be able to put forward for anybody arrested during the middle of the riots. And in this particular incident, now everything is being prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Let me be clear. I said this when things were happening on January 6th. I said, look, if we got to punish people who break the law, that is one of the ultimate lessons of ways to drive crime down, is when you collect and catch people who are breaking the law, punish them. But what creates a lack of trust and faith in the system is arbitrary punishment. It's not punishment. It's arbitrary punishment. And I think you can look at many of the results that are now coming down, compare them with the results from the riots all through the summer, and this is now looking like politically motivated, completely different standards of punishment for behavior.
I want to be very clear that they use, the system itself uses some of the talking points that you'll hear constantly on CNN or in the New York Times or wherever. The threat to democracy claim is part of the enhancement here, is part of the justification for the severe sentence. Remember, this is not somebody who assaulted a police officer. This is not somebody who even destroyed property. This is somebody who was present and trespassed. That is what, and therefore was obstructing government administration. I believe that the sentence he could have gotten was, I mean, technically in the statute, was 20 years. Obstructing an official proceeding, to give you a sense of how insane federal law actually is. But Clay, they said, like each rioter, this was in the filing, he contributed to the collective threat to democracy. Let's come back to that. This is Soviet style propaganda in a courtroom to throw somebody in a cell for 18 months. We'll come back to it in a moment. I want to hear your thoughts on this too. 800-282-2882. But if we've learned anything in the last year or so, it's that there's nothing quite as powerful for your health as your immune system hitting on all cylinders. That's why over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood, the original superfood. With 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes, you can build your body's defense from the inside out. You know how your grandmother told you to eat your fruits and veggies? But, you know, we're all busy, right? And fast food doesn't have this stuff. So a lot of people don't actually get the nutrients they need. That's where Texas Superfood comes in. It's the safety net for the American diet. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
This is James Golden, or Bolts Nerdly. I hope you're enjoying the podcast series Rush Limbaugh, the man behind the golden EIB microphone. There's a dozen episodes that will remind you of the greatness of Rush, with so many amazing stories shared. I'm your host of this series, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Tunnel to Towers Foundation and MyPillow are both sponsors.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, rolling through the Monday edition of the program. Dow Jones Industrial Average, as we are speaking with you, approaching a 1,000-point drop Joe Biden spoke earlier today. The market has continued to fall since then. And the storyline of Joe Biden, as you pointed out, Buck, was I'm going to be a uniter, not a divider. We're going to recover from COVID. And as I think it's fair to say, nervousness surrounding COVID is building as we get into late July. Mask mandate reinstituted in LA. Numbers coming out of England and Israel of increasing numbers of COVID cases, certainly with the COVID cases increasing in the United States. We hope that they are not going to be accompanied by a simultaneous rise in hospitalizations and deaths. But if COVID isn't solved, Buck, this is what Joe Biden ran his campaign on. This is how he won. He hid in his basement and said, Donald Trump isn't taking COVID seriously enough. You have to double mask. You have to triple mask. We will solve it for you. All you need to do is get a vaccine. If there's still uncertainty out there, then maybe you lean even more into the culture war, because what else do you have to point to as success? Not the border, not certainly inflation, not murder.
It's not actually the culture war, really. It's the make-believe civil war that they talk about here with the insurrection. Yes. I mean, it goes beyond even just the cultural fights we have about CRT. They treat this, and they're treating the incident on January 6th, the riot on January 6th, as though it was not just a threat to democracy to get CNN viewers to tune in larger numbers. Although, as we know, their audience has fallen off a cliff in the last 6 months, but that's why they use those terms. Clay, it's showing up in official proceedings now. It's showing up in courtrooms and also in the justification that judges put forward to hold people guilty of no violent crime or even an attempt at a violent crime as a threat to democracy. They did this with Russia collusion, too, and some of us were pointing this out at the time. Russia collusion is not even a crime. The crime would have been conspiracy. Collusion right. would be two companies working together to fix prices or something like that.
Well, that's what happened with social media, by right. the way, what the Biden administration is trying to get to happen with big tech.
And yet what we see is that they create something that sounds scary, and then that becomes the narrative, and it's used as a club to bludgeon their political opponents with, but not just in rhetorical terms. They actually have the weaponization of the system, of the DOJ, of the people in charge, against their political opponents based upon that narrative. And that's why, I mean, 18 months behind bars, they wanted him to serve. Eight months behind bars. They wanted him to serve 18 months behind bars for an entirely nonviolent crime. Remember, he didn't even destroy property. Now, I'm not saying that what he did is okay in the least. I'm not saying that people that were trespassing shouldn't. But how many people who are Democrats who have trespassed in state capitals or who have been parts of riots, at least present for riots, that have engaged in illegal behavior are getting 8-month federal sentences? I can't think of a single one.
And this is one of the things about the legal system in general. What creates a distrust among the public is when like crimes are not treated with like severity. And you had Kamala Harris out there running around raising money to pay bail for people who were arrested during the Black Lives Matter summer protest. And she's a hero for doing so. And you have one incident, which is lawbreaking, involving Republican voters, and the Democratic Party is fixated on it. And look, we've been pretty straightforward. I know you said the same thing, Buck. If you break the law, you should be prosecuted. But you have to prosecute people who are breaking the law in similar fashions to similar degrees. And we had an entire summer of Democrats running roughshod over federal property. And a lot of times they got arrested and let go with nothing happening to them.
I love it when we can give not just examples, Clay, but almost contemporaneous ones of exactly what we're talking about. So today we have the 8-month sentence for the Capitol Hill rioter. And just the fact that NBC News, ABC News, CNN refers to it as an insurrection as though that is the
Without
appropriate
question.
Term.
Yeah.
When there's actually, there are definitions of what would constitute an insurrection, and a true insurrection could be prosecuted and should be prosecuted under statutes that would involve
whether it's treason or sedition or just an armed insurrection, period. Yet here you have this guy facing 8 months in prison. Cycle back a few days. I wanted to mention this, and I'm getting to it now for everyone listening. The federal prosecutors looking at the Hunter Biden finance probe, you know, basically money laundering with Hunter Biden, which I would note, now he feels so free to do whatever that they're essentially letting him launder money with his $500,000 paintings to anonymous donors. They're doing it in plain sight. They don't even care. That's what they really think of the law. But, you know, Clay, a few days ago, it came out that the U.S. attorney, David Weiss, for Delaware, made sure to, quote, avoid taking any actions that could alert the public to the existence of the federal probe into Hunter Biden in a presidential election. So he delayed a federal investigation. He delayed search warrants. He delayed subpoenas. He delayed the judicial and prosecutorial process to help out Hunter Biden.
And he got praised for it.
And they're thinking,
people are like,
great.
Oh, what a great job of a prosecutor to not actually enforce the law, because if you enforce the law, it might have lended legitimacy to the idea, which is out there, that you have Hunter Biden engaging in rampant criminality. And by the way, this is also ties in with our friend Jen Psaki, who was saying that she wanted everybody banned if they were banned from one place, and she's so focused on misinformation. Now, I don't know if you saw this over the weekend, but this tweet of hers cycled up, and I thought was pretty interesting, which is Jen Psaki said, you know, again, she White House directed collusion is going on, but when that Hunter Biden story came out, she immediately shared, Hunter Biden's story is Russian disinfo, dozens of former intel officials say. That's a lie, right? She shared a lie on social media. By her own standard, she should be banned from every different social media camp, right? This is the absurdity of Joe Biden's policy as it pertains to big tech being writ large. There's actually no substance to it. It is a total failure. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back. But Buck, we're continuing to try to make everybody feel a little bit healthier and a little bit better, right? And
literally healthier, yes.
Yeah. Jeffrey in Texas says, just a message of thanks. I'm pain-free in my lower back pain. I can keep my business going, detailing audios. I'm working hard, riding my motorcycle, staying young, thanks to Relief Factor at 71 years old. My wife is using Relief Factor. It's making a big difference for her. I know it's making a big difference for your dad as well. This is a fantastic product. Right, Buck?
Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Created by doctors and based on scientific research, Relief Factor helps your body reduce pain and inflammation associated with aging, exercise, and everyday living. Relief Factor goes to the source of the inflammation. My mom, my dad, Clay's wife, all feeling the benefits of it. You can join hundreds of thousands of other folks who have ordered Relief Factor. And you know that about 70% of those who order go on to order more because it's working for them. Join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. That's relieffactor.com. Get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed for you. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I'm Buck. Remember to go to clayandbuck.com, website for updates, stories, news, all kinds of good things. Photos of Clay's cats, which for you dog folks out there, we're not running an official contest here or anything, although, come on, we got to make sure the dogs win. But Tallulah the French Bulldog went up on clayandbuck.com, and Clay's cats went up. And there's all this love for the cats. So I'm just saying, for the dog folks out there, you got to go on clayandbuck.com. Also to read news stories, Clay. It's not just about the pet photos we put up there.
I'm honestly stunned by how much interest there has been in the cats. And as we break it down, there's a lot of good stuff up there. We should give more credit. Let me do it right now to the entire staff that we have inherited that surrounded Rush Limbaugh. I mean, we're over a month into the show now, and they have a well-oiled machine, and we have stepped in and hopefully not slowed them down at all. But the behind-the-scenes people who you hear us occasionally mention have done a pretty fantastic job keeping things running.
It's the Rush team. It's the best team in the business. So clayandbuck.com is being run by the same people that have been running Rush's online for years and years. So go to clayandbuck.com, check that out. We did want to take some calls, but before we get to the calls, I just want to note that we have a cancel culture situation to discuss with you in the third hour. One thing that Clay and I will always do here is tell you the truth and make sure that you know what you need to know to assess where we're coming from on things. Black Rifle Coffee was the subject of a New York Times Magazine profile over the weekend. Got a lot of attention, and a lot of people on the right are pretty angry. Now, we're going to have the Black Rifle CEO on, Evan Hafer. And I want to tell you, while they're not sponsors of this show, we're having them on to talk about the cancel culture situation. They could be at some point in the future. I've had them on as a sponsor in the past. And I will also tell you that I consider Evan and the founders of Black Rifle to be friends. So Clay and I are going to ask them what's going on here. But I want you to know that here's a situation where someone that I think, a group that I think has done some great stuff, is getting a lot of heat on the right. And we want them to explain. We want them to be able to tell you what's really going on here, because they say, Clay, it's a hit piece, man. They got taken out of context, and I think they should have the right to make that case to everybody.
Yeah, look, and we're in a good spot where we have the biggest radio show in the country. And so sometimes when controversies arise, people have options to go and talk to a ton of different sources out there, right? And we have, because of you guys, such a monumentally massive audience that sometimes one of the most effective and efficient things to do is go right to the biggest audience you can find. And so that's why they want to come on and talk with us and talk to you guys. So I'm curious to see how this is going to go. We're taking some of your calls in the meantime. We haven't done that yet so far today. Who should we go to first, Buck? Tom in Ridgefield?
Let's do Tom.
Yes. Hey, I'm here. How are you guys?
Tom in Excellent. Connecticut. Well, we're good. What's going on?
I just want to just preface my comments are by saying that I was a 30-year-plus faithful listener for Rush Limbaugh. I miss him dearly. I think that it was a little rough transition from not listening to him and then listening to you guys, but you do a great job, and I'm thankful that you're there, because there's such a void when you drive all day for a living. You don't get to really commune with people, and to hear that, it's reassuring. He was a mentor. He was an inspiration. He told me to seek facts on my own and how to find the truth in a morass of media.
Well, Tom, we share that with you. I mean, Rush was a mentor on the air, and then obviously as a guest hosted for him for years. And Clay is inspired by Rush as well, so we're with you on that. But what's your thought about the Democrats?
Okay, so my comment is this: I think, looking back, and I'm going to paraphrase what was said, but the greatest dissemination of disinformation throughout the media was Kamala Harris. And that's because she had the biggest, largest bully pulpit. And she said, and I'm paraphrasing, I would not take the vaccine if Donald Trump was advocating or promoting it. Now, this is the same vaccine that Biden is now swearing by. And I would think, since she was able to get wall-to-wall media coverage without that soundbite, that probably 300 million people in the United States heard what she said. Out of those, we know at least 75, 77 million people voted for her and Joe Biden. So she got to influence half the population of the United States to at least be doubtful or in some way have some suspicion about that vaccine because of what she said.
Thank you so much for calling her from Connecticut. You are making, Clay, he's an excellent point here. The origins, really, in at least American political discourse, of vaccine hesitancy came from Democrats like Biden and Harris themselves, who were saying, I mean, you know, maybe you can't trust a vaccine under Trump's FDA. They absolutely did it.
That there's no doubt. And I think people, I understand the argument of, hey, we need science to not be political. But I don't understand also how anybody out there who has listened to everything our public scientists have said since March of 2020 can come to any other conclusion other than it's all political. And I think it's unfortunate, but that's where we are. And that's why I'm afraid that we're going to end up in, Buck, another lockdown before all is said and done in this process. That is where we are headed.
You got a New York City councilman. Thank you, producer Allie, for sending this to us right now. New York City councilman saying he wants the mask mandate back in New York
biggest city in the country, folks. Ken in Texas, you got some thoughts on it.
Clay and Buck, it's an honor to speak to you guys. The politicians in California, and Gavin Newsom in particular, are requiring people who are vaccinated to wear masks. That is clearly overdoing their authority. And I predict, are you guys there?
Yeah, we're listening,
yeah,
buddy.
I predicted this last year that when this COVID virus initially set in, that liberals were going to take advantage of this and use it because they are absolutely into control. And now that the Delta variant is coming back, they're licking their chops. They're loving every minute of it. It's time for these people in California, anywhere else, if you're vaccinated, you should not have to wear a mask. These people need to stand up to this
I mean, I'll just say, Ken, I feel like you just shouldn't have to wear a mask, period.
Period. So the data doesn't reflect, in Buck and Mine's mind, again, and we try to use the actual data. The data doesn't reflect that masks have made any difference at all if you compare different state outcomes based on the way that they, the choices that they made. In other words, if you look at Florida and you look at Texas and you compare them with California and New York, Florida and Texas far less draconian in terms of what they required compared to New York and California, yet Florida and Texas have lower rates of COVID, COVID infection, COVID deaths than those other places. And so what Buck and I try to do is share data with you, real facts, and try to make sense of it. And sometimes that can be challenging in real time. That's what we're trying to do right now as the stock market is down nearly 1,000 points. But Buck, when we come back, we're going to be joined by the guys at Black Rifle Coffee to talk about what they are going through right now as they find themselves at the center of a media storm based on a New York Times article that went up on the front page of the New York Times magazine over the weekend. And that should be a pretty interesting conversation.
Yeah, we're going to have the CEO, the founder of Black Rifle, on to talk about what's happening. The left came for them. We'll get into it.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.